Can I have your Bibles this morning? If you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Keep your finger in our original text with our red. This is January, first month of the new year. There's some new things I'd like to tell you about. Notice, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Opportunity. I want you to notice, now let's go back to Isaiah 42, the original passage, verse number 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. God said that there were some things that are going to happen to Israel because of their sin, and He sent the Assyrian Empire against Israel. And Hezekiah, in chapter 36 of Isaiah, was all worried about it, and he took it before the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, I see this as a result of your promise. God said, you don't do what's right, I'm going to send the Assyrians to take over your land. And, you know, it came to pass. So in this verse, he says, and the former things are come to pass. Whatever God says is going to come to pass. But he reminds you, and I want you to, us to look at the last part of the verse. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I declare, I'll tell you them. Everybody in this room are going to have some new opportunities this year. Every one of us. New opportunities. We're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I could have done what he did. I wish I could have done what he did. Time and chance happeneth to us all. Everybody in this room is going to have some new opportunities. I want you to notice, if you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you drove up this morning, there's a sign in the front of our church that says, come unto me. And you'll notice in Isaiah 1:18, you have your Bible. I want you to turn there. I want you to read it. Come now. Come unto me, the Lord says. I want you to have a new opportunity. I want you to read it with me. Notice, if you would, 1:18. Come now. Come unto me. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. There's a new opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. If you have put it off, you haven't really settled it in your heart, there's a new opportunity for salvation this year, 2014. And it's today. Now, you may have another opportunity a little later on, but no man's promised more than one. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So that means that the grace of God that brings salvation is going to come to Derek, or has come to Derek, and Derek's trusted Christ as Savior. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and it's going to come to Benita. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has come. It's going to come to Brother Rick. It's going to come. It's going to come to Laura. It's going to come to all of us in this room. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. And if you've not yet received Christ as Savior, He says, come now and let us reason together. The Lord is not saying, I'm going to come to you in 6 months. He says, come now and let us reason together. The Lord is always interested in saving people today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation when the Israelites hardened their heart. So He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. So the Lord says, I want to give you an opportunity today to get it settled. I'll bring the grace of God that brings salvation to your heart. All you have to do is receive it. Today, there's one new thing that's going to happen to everybody in this room. If you've not yet received Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. Opportunity. Now, you know, I've thought about this, and even this morning, I was thanking the Lord for saving me. 46 years ago, I remember back, I was sitting in church, and I was sitting next to my parents. I was sitting about middle way back. I was sitting there minding my own business. And the grace of God came and said, Dave Pittman, today's the day you need to get saved. And I argued and I said, not today. Because I looked down the road and we had kinfolks there. And I said, not today. They already think I'm saved. I go to church. They think I'm a good guy. Lord, not today. The grace of God that brings salvation is here now, Dave Pittman. Now, you know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Who can guarantee me you'll be here tomorrow? That's the reason he said, look, don't put off this opportunity of getting it settled that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus died to give you this opportunity. And it's here, it's now, it's today. Will you trust Him today? Now, everybody in this room's got to make one or two decisions. I've already trusted Him, or today's the day. It's an opportunity. Now, let me remind you of this. You're not promised tomorrow. You might say, well, I'm just not ready today. You don't know that you'll ever have another opportunity. Oftentimes, multiple times, I sat back. I've laid in my bed and thanked the Lord for saving me that June day 46 years ago. And I said, Lord, I shuddered to think what would have happened if I'd have said no. If I would have missed heaven because I was fearful of what family might think. If I'd have missed heaven because of my friends sitting in the youth section, what it might think. Don't let anybody or any pressure cause you to miss heaven. It's not worth it. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Today is your day. I can guarantee you, if you'll step out of the aisle this morning and come down here to the front, I can get a Bible, get someone to take a Bible. I can do it. Take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And you can get it settled for all eternity that you know that you're on your way to heaven. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you're on your way to heaven this morning. Jesus didn't die for possibilities. He died so you'd have a guaranteed hope, a certainty in your heart. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. So you can get it settled today. So opportunity number one is you can get things settled today for our salvation. It's an opportunity that's presented to everybody in this room this morning. He said, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. Well, Pastor, I've had a terrible life to this point. It doesn't matter. The Lord will save you. There are people sitting in this room, some of the worst sinners in this world sitting in this room, but saved by the grace of God. And what a privilege. Don't miss this new thing for you today. But I want to give you something else that's going to be a new opportunity. There's going to be new opportunities to sin this year. For every one of us in this room. Saved or unsaved. You see, the old devil in this world is interested in destroying your life. Why? Because God loves you. Have you ever thought about it? Why is Satan so after us? Why does he want so much to destroy our lives? Why does he work so hard to make us do the wrong thing? To try to put pressure on us to disobey the Lord. Why is that? Because he knows that God loves you. And it would hurt the heart of God. And he's jealous and bitter and envious. And anything he can do to get you and I to do what's wrong, it hurts the heart of God. And so you're going to have some brand new opportunities this year to sin. You're going to have some new opportunities for pornography. Almost everybody in this room. You're going to have some new opportunities to lie and cheat and steal. Everybody in this room will. The old devil will come to you. You're going to have some new opportunities for immorality. Everybody in this room will. You say, Pastor, I guarantee it. Because I've seen in Scripture, the old devil, in Revelation chapter 12, has multiple names, aliases. The destroyer. The evil one. Diabolos. He is after you today. And the Lord said in 1 Peter, the old devil as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. So I guarantee you there's going to be some brand new opportunities, new package, new ways that you say, I never even thought about that. You've got to be aware. There's going to be some new opportunities to sin. There's going to be some new opportunities to mess up your marriage. There's going to be some new opportunities this year to mess up the relationship between you and your friends, you and your parents. You're going to have some new opportunities. I guarantee you they're going to come. And he said in this passage, he says, I want to declare them to you before they come. That's what I want to do. I want to let you know they are coming. There's going to be some new opportunities for you to get out of church and just stop coming to church altogether. There's going to be somebody say something, do something that's going to give you the opportunity to say, I don't want to go back to church. There's going to be some new opportunities to get you to say, I'm not sure I believe the Bible. If you're having doubts about whether or not you believe God's word is absolutely true, come talk to me. I'll get someone, take a little time with you, and I'll sit down and I'll show you how I can guarantee you the Bible's true. You say, Pastor, how can you do that? Nobody else can do it. Well, the Lord said in the days of Christ that they would present the proofs that Jesus was the Christ, and some believed and some didn't. It's always been that way. Did you know that the rich man died and went to hell, and he looked at the Lazarus, and he says, Lazarus, would you send somebody from heaven to my five brothers and tell them about Christ, and they'll believe? You know what Jesus said through Abraham? If they won't believe the prophets, the word of God, they won't believe though one rose from the dead. Let me ask you a question. If I told you today, this is Brother Rick Anderson. Look at Brother Rick Anderson. He rose from the dead last week. How many of you would believe me? Well, that's exactly what Abraham said. Nobody's going to believe that. So I've given you the Word of God, and I've given you the proofs of the Word of God. I've put fulfilled prophecies. I've put archaeological findings that every time they pull something up, it just backs up God's Word. Scientific evidences, every time they prove it, it just backs up God's Word. I mean, you know, it was amazing to me. Does anybody know how George Washington died? Does anybody know? Somebody tell me. Larry? Anybody know? Right here. He was bled to death. Who bled him to death? Oh, it's doctors. Did you know the doctors bled the president to death? All they had to do was read Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You drain out the blood, you'd kill the life. Why didn't they read that? Columbus thought he was going to end up sailing off the end of the earth. Why didn't he read that the Bible is a globe, a circle of the earth? It's always been there. There are so many proofs in Scripture that if you were to sit down and take an honest look at it, you could prove it to a court of law in 12 jurors, and they say, well, I believe that. But nobody's willing to listen. And they got preconceived ideas. So the opportunities for sin are going to be rampant for all of us in this room, because Satan's going to come to you and say, are you sure the Bible's true? Come talk to me. I'll sit down and show you how the Bible's true. Don't let the old devil take the opportunity of doubt and ruin your joy this year. There's going to be opportunities for joy, for sin this year. Everyone in this room is going to have an opportunity. You'll probably have an opportunity to run around on your mate. You'll probably have an opportunity to lie to your mate. I'm just telling you, the old devil is a master at it. He's devious. He's a destroyer. He would like it nothing more than to destroy your life and look at God and say, see there, I got another one. Because God sent His Son to die for you because He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave everybody in it. Everybody in this room. Folks, don't let religion take over your life. Narrow it down to a person. Jesus Christ loves you. He died to save you. If you've accepted Him, don't let sin come between you and Him. There will be an opportunity this year for you to sin easily. There'll be an opportunity for me to sin. I'm reminded of a letter years ago I got. Don't remember how many of those, but I remember the letter. A pastor friend of mine, when I came to this town 25 years ago, our church had split, and there was the people that were left here, there were two young people, my son was the third, and the people who were left here were hurting, and I came from Texas, didn't know much about it, but boy, whenever I would meet another pastor, it was like, who are you? You took that church. I said, what's wrong with that church? They're good people. Oh. One pastor befriended me, brought me over. He set me down with some other pastors at a pastor's meeting. Cold. But that one pastor was friendly to me. He was gracious to me. I appreciated it. He took my wife and I out to dinner. He tried to welcome me to D.C. I don't know how many years it was, but I got a letter from him, a personal letter. Dave, I just want to let you know personally, I've sinned. I've messed up my life. I'm resigning the ministry, and these words haunt me. I'm laying down my sword. I just sat in my office and wept. My wife had to come in and put her arms around me and said, what is wrong? And I read the letter to her. There'll be an opportunity for every one of us in this room to lay down your sword. Will you do it? The old devil will be cheering you on. You'll have some friends that will be cheering you on. Stand up and say, no, not this year. This is not the year. And when next year comes, say, that's not the year. And for the rest of your life, say, that's not the year. There's not coming a year when I'm going to lay down my sword and I'm going to commit these sins. I'm going to live for Christ. Folks, today, I'm telling you, it's a brand new year. And the Lord Jesus said here in this passage, He says, there's some new things going to happen. I want to tell you about them in advance. Now, you know the old devil. You know he's going to do that. Be careful. Strengthen yourself. Be aware. You know, they train you in the military. They really train you as you go into the battlefield. When you go into the battlefield, you're assessing the situation. And you're checking to see if the enemy could be over there. You're looking around to make sure you don't get backed up in a corner in a dead-end street. There's all kinds of tactics they're teaching you. And so some of the soldiers come home. They're still assessing because they're home, but they haven't left the war yet in their mind. And they're still assessing. You know, we as Christians, we need to be that way. On guard. The Bible says, look circumspectly. It's constant. Keep your head on a swivel. Constantly be looking because sin is out there. It's coming to get you. I just want you to be aware of it. The wrong thoughts, the wrong attitudes. Folks, the wrong attitudes creep over us so quick. I mean, something happens and it just kind of turns our attitude sour. It can be sour in 5 minutes. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it just something happens and it just turns your spirit and you're just not the same person. Don't let the old devil do that to you this year. So this is the year, 2014. Lord, I'm not going to yield to that sin. Maybe you have a sin that plagues you. You have a sin that bothers you. That keeps coming up in your life. Let this be the year you cut it loose. Let not sin have dominion over me, David said. Psalm 19. If you've got a dominating sin in your life, cut it loose. This morning, let this be the morning that you cut it loose. If there's this something in your life, maybe it's laziness. Maybe you just don't get up and read your Bible and you don't get up and you just hit and miss at serving the Lord. Let this be the year you cut it loose. He said, Lord, I want to serve you this year. This is the year of opportunity for me. Time and chance happeneth to them all. But boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't put it off. You may not get a second chance to trust Christ as Savior. And you may not get a second chance to serve the Lord. Keep away from sin. You see, once you lay down your sword, I don't know too many people pick it back up again. It's usually permanent. Don't let that happen to you. If you have fallen into sin, this is the year of opportunity to come back to Him. You know what He says? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you're carrying a load this morning, if you're carrying a burden, some sin that's happened in your life, something has happened in your life that's caused you to get burdened down, a bereavement, a disappointment, something happened at your job, this is the year to cut it loose and say, Lord Jesus, I'm just going to give it over to you and I'm going to follow you and walk with you. Let this be the year. Let this be the day of opportunity for you. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Look at your life. Don't let the old devil get you this year. And then I want you to notice, it's not only an opportunity for salvation and an opportunity to sin, it's an opportunity for service and surrender. I noticed that every year in my life, I want to add something to my life for the Lord's sake. You know, one of the things I love about being a Christian and one of the things I hate about athletics. Don't say anything. I'm going to tell you something. It's not a secret, but this past week, our boys are having basketball practice. School was out. I said, I'm going to go practice with them. Stop laughing. So I went and got my Nike Airs. Stop laughing, guys. I walked out there with my Nike Airs, and man, it was just us guys out there. And I had my black shorts on, and I had my white socks on, and my white Nike Airs on, and my white T-shirt, and I went out there and I said, let's practice. And so they were doing the weave, you know what I'm saying? It'd been a long time since I did the weave. I wove the wrong way all the time. And so these guys run down and I'm passing the ball and hitting the ground, hitting the wall. These guys are really nice to me. As they can't make layups, I'm just messing up the whole practice. And, you know, you're trying to make a shot and the ball goes that way when it's supposed to go that way. Very frustrating. Probably the most hurtful thing was when one of the teenage boys looked at me and says, where did you get those shoes? I will not mention Matt's name for all the tea in China. I said, man, they're Nike Airs. He said, did you help Michael Jordan start the line? I guess or something like that. It was like, that's a prototype, I think. That was an insinuation. Man. I said, come on, guys. I'm just trying to get a little exercise and be with you guys. And so I'm running down the court thinking, they're laughing at my shoes. They're laughing at my shoes. But at least my shoes aren't lime green like some other people's. Can you imagine what it had been like 40 years ago when Michael Jordan first started his line, or 30 or however long it was? If he had had lime green shoes, they'd have laughed him out of the gym. But now I'm laughed out of the gym because I got white shoes. So I walked out of there, took off my shoes. Of course, I hurt all night. I said, it didn't used to be this way. And, you know, I go up to get a rebound, and one of them little jerks would jump over and get it behind me. I said, how do you do that? That didn't used to be possible. I got those rebounds. And I try to go and get it. I say, why is that ball higher today? I don't understand that. Can I tell you something? The older you get, the less athletic you get. How many of you know that? Let me see your hands. Raise it up. That makes me feel a lot better. I didn't see any of your hands, but it's coming, I'm telling you. Time and chance happeneth to us all, and it's on a train. It's coming after you. And you know what? I realized, I walking out of the gym, and I said, man, I might be getting older. I might be. But I'll tell you what else. I got my Bible out. And this is the one area of my life that doesn't have to get older and weaker. And I can't jump as high. And I can't run as far. This area of my life is the opportunity of a lifetime. Because I can be better tomorrow than I ever was yesterday. And everybody in this room, you got the same opportunity. The opportunity of service and the opportunity of surrender. And nobody can stop you except the old devil. But he's after you. But I can be a better Christian tomorrow than I ever was yesterday. And what a joy. I can take that to heaven with me. It is so disappointing not to be able to do the same things you used to could do. But I'm finding out that I'm praying more and I'm able to get a chance to pray for people and the joy in my heart to be able to pray for this person, that person. You know, used to as a young pastor, you're concerned about a lot of things, but you know, you begin to learn there's a balance and there's certain things that are important, certain things are not important. You know, I want to make sure that this was painted right and this design was right. And I want to make sure that this was right. And all that's important. But I realize that that's going to go away one of these days. I realize that getting the carpet and the chairs to match really worked on that. It's nice. That's going to go away one of these days. But you know what's not going away? Chris Clark, Renee Mock. So I better not spend so much time making sure the furniture matches, although that's important. And making sure the little things are done. And make sure that I grow and focus on the big things. You. His Word. Loving Him more. Those are things that can never be taken away. And I can improve on them year after year. I can improve on my Christian service. I can improve on my surrender. I can give Him more of my life this year than I did last year. I have the opportunity of a lifetime as a Christian that the closer I get for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's not that way in anything else. The older you get, you got to retire. The older you get, you got to retire. It's not that way with a Christian. The older you get, the more you can lay up in heaven. The closer you get to the Lord. You've got the opportunity of a lifetime today. It's time to buckle up and say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. This is the year to surrender everything. You know, we have visitation supper on Wednesday night at 5:15. And I know a lot of people are busy, and I know that a lot of people are maybe don't see as clearly that every person that has two eyes and a nose is going to die one of these days and go to heaven or hell. They're a little more concerned sometimes with
paying my bills, keeping up my job. And I understand that. But I don't think you can forget about the souls of men. I heard about a church the other day. Brother Rick, have you seen some missionaries that lost their focus and focused on stuff like this and not on people? Missionaries? Really? So what happens to missionaries too? So the devil is in Peru? I just heard about a church this week. Somebody emailed me and said, family in our church. My family's church, someplace, I don't even know exactly where it is. But they're known as a church that cares about the souls of people. We got them visitation. They invite people to church. And that's not just something that is an independent Baptist church is supposed to do. That's not something that a Baptist church is supposed to do. That's something everybody is supposed to be concerned about. But this church is known for caring about souls of people. So everybody passes out tracts pretty well. That's just the goal of their church. Now we have on Sunday night, 7 for Heaven Club. Everybody takes 7 tracts and pass them out. Well, every once in a while I hear a story about this, it just really encourages me. I've passed out thousands of tracts. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because when I checked out yesterday at Walgreens, that girl's going to die and go to heaven or hell one of these days. And the opportunity that I have is very limited to be, I've never seen her before, to give her a track. I don't have time to sit down and talk with her. She's working. But could you read this? I just want you to know it tells you about how to get to heaven. It's a wonderful little story. I'd like to invite you to our church. They're great people. I'm looking for a church. This church, they passed out tracts everywhere, like we do. Only I'd like to get everybody else involved. Opportunity, 2014. And they would go to Walmart and pass out tracts as they're leaving. You know, the toppers are at Walmart, and the wigs are at Walmart, and each person, as you go, they just pass out tracts. And so there was one lady at Walmart. She's a checker, and she would check people out, and she kept getting these tracts for months. She just kept getting tracts. Finally, she said, there must be something going on at that church. I need to go figure out what it is. She came to church. She walked down the aisle, and she got saved. Why? A lot of people said, this is the year I'm going to take my opportunity to be a blessing and a witness. I don't have time to go to everybody, but I'll carry a pocket full of tracts and I'll just pass them out when I have the opportunity. If I was that Walmart checker, when I step foot inside heaven, I'm going to go find every person that gave me a tract and hug them real tight. Say thank you. It's a sad thing when the Lord looks at it and says, no man cared for my soul. David said that in Psalms. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. This is a year of opportunity. Will you take advantage of it? Will you say, this is the year? I'm going to start reading the Bible. I had such an encouragement this year, this past week. I was telling people on Wednesday night, a young man I've been working with for 5 or 6 months said, I've had my devotions every day for 22 days in a row. Wow. I spend time with the Lord every day. And you know, what I'm trying to say to you today is it's an opportunity. This is the year. Don't lose 2014. There are people being saved all over the world. Missionaries doing a great job. Christians doing a great job. But there are a lot of Christians that look at that passage, time and chance happeneth to them all, and says, Pastor can do it. Brother Brandon can do it. Brother R can do it. Brother Brock can do it. I'm busy. Can I challenge you this morning? Surrender. Get involved. Don't let the old devil get you this year. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Page 390, I surrender all. It's the opportunity for salvation. It's the opportunity to sin this year. But it's also an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to surrender. There are some folks you can pray for today. I know that Sean would have covered your prayers today. I know that that the Vintners would covet your prayers today. I know that Lisa Nikita would covet your prayers today. As she has some tests or some doctor's appointments this coming week. I know there are folks in our church that would covet your prayers. Are we going to be prayer warriors this year? Could I challenge you to find some place, jump in with both feet and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Could I ask you to step out of your seat, come down here to me, let me help you get that settled this morning. Get it settled forever. The greatest decision I ever made, 46 years ago. But it was the hardest decision I ever made. Would you come this morning? Time and chance happeneth to them all. If the grace of God has appeared to you today, and He has, if you're unsaved, will you come this morning? Christian, you're battling with a sin. It's a dominant sin. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, I'm giving it up. I'm going to give it to you. I need your help. He'll help you. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Help us to just surrender all today because you're worth it. Lord, you said that there'll be new things this year. You wanted to declare them to us. But I'm certain I haven't even mentioned a tenth of all the new things that will be opportunities for us this year, both good and bad. Would you protect us from the bad and bless us with the good? In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 390, I surrender all. If you need to come this morning, start this year. This is a new month. Give it to the Lord this year. It's brand new things, the opportunity of a lifetime. You come this morning if you need to be saved. The man you lead us, please, sir.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Right, you come right ahead.
All
whatever the need is this morning.
To Him I freely give.
All does the Lord love you.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Live.
Don't miss the opportunity to walk out of here clean this morning.
Sing.
Your heart really in that.
Pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
There's someone you ought to add to your prayer list. Keep them there until they get saved or get right, get healthy. The Lord does whatever He's going to do. I encourage you to come today. Opportunities for service. One last verse, if you need to come, don't miss the opportunity.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all.
heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the pianist continues to play. While some pray, I encourage you, it's not too late. Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Get it settled this morning. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. There's some new things going to come this year. Are you ready for them? All right, if I could have your attention up this way, thank you for your attention this morning. And may the Lord bless you as you travel. Travel carefully. Weather is still cold out there. Don't forget tonight, you come back tonight, we'll look at the last lesson on a vessel unto honor. You know, folks, everybody in this room is a vessel. You're a vessel for good, honor, or to dishonor. Tonight, I want you to see how to prepare to be a vessel unto honor. Folks, I don't want one person in this room to stand before God and Him look at you and say, here's your reward. And you lost everything. 1 Corinthians 3 tells about that such man. His whole life was burned up. Come tonight and you prepare to be a vessel unto honor so that you know that you can have eternal rewards. Folks, you're not going to take anything you got with you. Not one thing in this room is going to heaven with us. Except the people. Put first things first this year. This is a new year. 2014. Let's make it count for the Lord. Let's bow forward in prayer and be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you today for new opportunities. Lord, I thank you that every page is white. The rest of this year. Lord, help us as a church family to keep it that way. Dear Lord, burden our hearts that we might be clean and pure, vessels unto honor. Lord, teach us how to prepare for you to be able to use us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that tonight you give, today you give us traveling mercies. I thank you for our missionary and his faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you bless him and his family and meet the needs that they have. Lord, I pray that you bless those that made decisions this morning. That you'd encourage their hearts. Lord, those that made decisions in their seats, I pray that you'd bless them. And Father, those that didn't make decisions, I pray that you'd touch their heart again. Lord, give them another chance. Lord, thank you for your grace to us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Lord bless you.